The following is a Sunday feast lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 31st, 2006, in Melbourne, Australia.
So now that we're flying in the spiritual sky, let's fly all the way back to home, back to Godhead. Not come down anymore. You see. This plane, Krishna consciousness, is the suitable vehicle for crossing over the vast ocean of material existence. This is why it is stated in the ancient scripture, the most profound scripture ever given in the history of the universe. Perhaps you know the name, Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Samashritaye Palapallava Plavam Mahatpadam Punya Yasho Murare Bhavam Budir Vatsa Puram Padam 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 Vadam Yad Vivadam Natesham. So, what is the meaning? The meaning is the one who takes shelter of this boat, this vehicle that is crossing over the ocean of Neshan. You see. And what is that boat? That boat is the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. One who takes shelter of that boat, of the Lord's lotus feet. And who is that Lord that is described? Mahat, what is it? It is described Murare, the one who is famous for wiping out the Mura demon. So, one who takes shelter of that Murari, Krishna, for him, that vast ocean, that vast insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes reduced down to the amount of water found within the hoofprint of a calf. That person's destination is Parampadam, the spiritual world, that world completely free of all anxieties. That is his destination. Not that place where there is danger at every step. Melbourne. You see? So this is the very... Of course, the Bhagavatam didn't say Melbourne. I was just localizing the translation. The material world. It's also dangerous in Sydney. In New York and everywhere else. Material world. So, this is the wonderful process. If we get aboard the airplane or the ship, the Lord's holy name, which is not different from His lotus feet, if we can get aboard this ship, this airplane, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then we can pass over all difficulties. There will be no problem. You see, in this world, we have so many problems. Actually, we do not like to admit, but we have so many problems here. As soon as we're born, immediately the problems come. You see, we get sick. And then the parents say, now get out of the house, you have to go to school. Oh no, I want to play. And then finally if you get used to being in school, they say, now you have to go out and start a career. No, I just want to stay in school. You see? Then you get attached to your career and they say, now you have to retire and just live on, you know, somehow get by without an income. No, I don't want to do that. At every step there is problems. At every step there is problems in this world. This world is called Kunta, the place of anxiety. But there is another realm, there is another world, which is Vaikuntha, that place which is completely free of anxiety. So we are here today to teach you how you can enter into that Vaikuntha realm, and how you can live in that Vaikuntha realm at every minute, even while you're engaged in your normal workaday activities. This process of Krishna consciousness is so nice. You simply add it to whatever you're doing now. You don't have to change what you're doing now. Continue to do what you're doing now and simply add Krishna to what you're already doing. And this way, your life will become transformed. You will no longer be living in this material existence. You'll be living in the sweet transcendental abode of Lord Sri Krishna at every minute. We are not meant to suffer. Suffering is artificial. Anandamhayo bhyasa. It is stated in the Vedic wisdom. The nature of the living entity is simply ananda, enjoyment. That's it. If you're experiencing anything other than pure enjoyment at every second, then you are in an unnatural position. And that is the reality. In this world, we are all in that unnatural position, that we are not tasting unlimited, ever-increasing bliss at every second. Why is that? Why are we tasting something less than pure bliss at every second of our existence? The reason is we are misidentifying ourselves. You see? We are identifying, I am this body, I am male, I am female, I am Indian, I am Australian, you see. We are misidentifying with this lump of flesh, blood, mucus, bile, stool, urine, and so many other wonderful ingredients. That if somebody said, I have a plastic bag for you, it's full of flesh, blood, stool, urine, mucus, vomit, and so many wonderful ingredients. Can I leave it in your living room? No, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's all right. But yet we think it's so wonderful. The actual reason it is attracted to us, this body. You see, the young boy, he sees the young girl and he is attracted. The young boy, girl, she sees the young boy and she is attracted. You see? What is it we're attracted to? Is it the body? Well, we think it's the body. We think it's actually what is really attractive is the spiritual soul within. You see? The spirit soul is what gives light to the body. It is what gives life to the body. The body is simply a vehicle, like you get a Ford, a Chevy, a Toyota. You see? It's a vehicle. That's a. What model do you have? Well, I got a, you know, I got an Australian female model, or a, you know, American male model, or a Gujarati female. You know, these are just model cars. That's a. But we are not the cars. We are the drivers. That's our real identity. So, if you think that you're the car, then you have problems. Because that car is destined for obsolescence as soon as possible by the arrangement of the auto manufacturer. You see. They make sure that you want to buy a new one as soon as possible. That it falls apart as quickly as possible. They could design the cars to last much longer, but that's not profitable. They make sure it falls apart pretty soon. So you buy a new one. You see. So we have these bodies that are destined to become obsolete by the laws of nature. You see that handsome young male body or that beautiful young female body that may be sporting today, tomorrow it will be an old woman's crumpled up, shriveled body or an old man's crumpled up, shriveled body, you see. So if we base our happiness on that beautiful young female body or that handsome young male body that's full of energy, vitality, attractiveness, if we base our happiness on that, well, we're on a tottering platform that any minute we can fall off. So, those who are intelligent, dehi nosmin yata dehi komaram jovanam jada tata dehandra praptir dhiras tatra namuyati. Those who are intelligent, they do not base their happiness on this material body. They base their happiness on the driver, the eternal soul who lives within the body. They reconnect with their eternal, deathless, immortal nature of a spiritual being in quality one with God. Those persons are called Krishna conscious, or Christ conscious, or Buddha conscious. You see, Allah conscious, the same thing, God. Reawakening the dormant love of God within the heart. So, in this temple, we are engaged in the scientific system of reawakening the divine consciousness, which is eternally there, but is doing what at the present moment? Sleeping. Just imagine if I told you that you have a fortune worth $10 trillion buried in your backyard, in one corner of your backyard. Would you like to know which corner it's buried in? You bet you would. So, you have a fortune buried in your heart, which makes $10 trillion look like peanuts. That treasure buried in your heart is pure love of God. See? Everyone has pure love of God buried deeply in a corner of their heart. So, if we can find someone who can tell us how to revive that love of God, that is called Guru. You see? Scriptures, sadhus, and guru, these three things, they can teach us how to revive that dormant love for God within the heart. When that love of God becomes revived, one comes fully to the platform of spiritual existence, even while maintaining the body. They come to an enlightened platform. They see everything in relationship with God at every minute. Such a person is completely free of all anxieties. Such a person is called spiritually enlightened. You see? Because he sees God within everything. And God, he sees everything within God and God within everything. So how to develop that pure enlightened state of consciousness? You see? This the bona fide spiritual master teaches. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he has taught us this system and now we are teaching it to you. It is the same thing, with no addition, with no subtraction. We are now teaching you how to revive that dormant love of God situated within your heart so that you can taste the sweetest happiness at every minute. As we mentioned earlier in this lecture, suffering is unnatural. The healthy state is to be completely free of all types of anxiety, even in the most calamitous situation at the moment of death. A Krishna conscious person is not disturbed. He simply sees, oh, change of body. This life, let's say you're driving a Ford, and the Ford gets very old, and you think, now I will get Toyota. So you go down to trade your Ford in for a Toyota. Is it a fearful moment when you trade in your Ford and get your Toyota? No, it's a joyful moment. Getting a brand new car? Is it? So for someone who is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you see, death just means, oh, time for a trade-in. You see, one either gets a brand new material body, or if you have really properly absorbed yourself on the spiritual pathway, you will get a spiritual body which never gets sick, never gets old, and never dies, which is eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. So for a person who is seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, there is no such thing as the fear of death. It is just like you're in the university and you're a freshman and you're a sophomore. You're just making progress, that's all. Going from one grade. No, I have to be a freshman forever. No. Who wants to be a freshman forever? You see, you can move up. So it's not that I have to remain in this body forever. I shouldn't be so attached to this particular body thinking, I have to always have this body. I have to find a way to keep this body going forever. This is what modern scientists are trying to tell us, you know. We will find a way that they're even predicting. I read an article, one scientist, he's saying, take your vitamins. Because very soon, science will discover a way to give you immortality. It's got to live long enough till they finally discover how to do it. He was serious. He was saying, very soon, scientists will figure out a way to make you immortal. But we have a saying over here. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let me ask you a question. If you were a Mercedes-Benz dealer, you sold the Mercedes-Benz cars, and someone comes in to buy a Mercedes, he said, I'd like to have this one. I'll write you a check. Well, you say, well, you ask him, well, you got the money in the bank for the check to clear? You say, no, don't worry, tomorrow I'll deposit it. Give me the car today, and tomorrow the check will clear. Would you let him have the Mercedes? Would you let him have the Mercedes? No way. The money has to be in the bank. And then you can let him have the Mercedes. So the scientists, they are saying, very soon we will give you immortality. You just give us more money. You give us more scientific grants, you know, more money for our scientific research. And we will give you immortality. Very soon we will give you immortality. You have to give me another grant. After all, you know, I have to make my payments on my yacht and all that. You know, you got to make sure to give me another grant. And I will give you immortality. We do not take their bluff. We do not take this bluff of the scientists. You see, we want to see what you can give us now. That we can accept. Whatever you can give us now, that is all right. Just like they have given us microphone, all right. We accept, we will use for Krishna. They have given us digital recorder, yes, we will use to record the lecture and put it on the internet. Whatever you have given us, we will use, that's all right. We're not against your scientific progress, but don't give us these bluffs that we will give you immortality. Whatever you have given us, very good. We will use for Krishna. That is all right. But do not give us bluff. You see, we do not take bluff. The fact is, by the laws of nature, this body is destined to get sick, get old, and die. You cannot change the laws of nature. This is the foolishness of the scientists. They think that they can change the laws of nature. They think that they are God. But guess what, my dear PhD? You are not God. You cannot control the universe. You cannot change the laws of nature. So instead of trying to change the laws of nature, the intelligent person will think, let me live in harmony with the laws of nature. That is intelligent. You see? Instead of trying to defeat God, why don't you harmonize with God? They have a saying, if you can't beat them, join them. If you cannot defeat God, in the past so many big demons, they tried to defeat God, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, they tried to defeat God, and what was the result? They became defeated. So if even the big demon, Hiranyakashipu, who was so powerful that he could terrorize the entire universe with his mystic power, just by the mere raising of his eyebrows, the demigod, the universal controllers, the demigods became fearful. Just when he would raise his eyebrows, he was so powerful, Hiranyakashipu. But still he could not conquer over death. Could not conquer death. So these scientists, they're simply tiny Hiranyakashipus trying to conquer nature. They will never succeed. We should take hint from that person who's given us this nature. That is God. We should take hint from the words given by Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, how we can perfectly live in harmony with the laws of God and transcend the cycle of repeated birth and death. This is intelligent, you see. Take advantage of the knowledge which is given, Bhagavad Gita. Take advantage of this knowledge, make your life perfect. Don't take birth again here in this rotten place. Don't do it. You're foolish if you do that. You see? Give up this entanglement in the cycle of birth and death. It's very easy. All you have to do is chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sincerely. And you say, well, I don't know, you know. So many people say so many things. I don't know. It sounds good, but you know, everything sounds good. How do I know this is just another hype? Not just another hype. Well, you try it. That's it. I guarantee you, if you give this a sincere try, 6 months, sincerely take this Krishna Bhakti pathway, Bhakti Yoga. You sincerely take it for 6 months. Sincerely try for 6 months. And then at the end of 6 months, look back and see the difference in your consciousness. I guarantee you, if you give it a sincere try for 6 months, you will be absolutely astounded. You will be absolutely amazed. The transformation that you've experienced in your consciousness. You will taste a happiness. You will experience knowledge which you couldn't even have conceived could even exist. So please try this Krishna consciousness pathway. Give it 6 months experiment and taste the result. You will find it to be strikingly wonderful. This is not my guarantee. This is the guarantee of one of the greatest enlightened spiritual masters in the history of the universe, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He has said that you will find it. If you make this, you simply consider it with your intelligence, you will find it to be strikingly wonderful. So, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Simply take to this pathway, Krishna consciousness, for some time and judge by the result. So, we can ask if any of you have some questions. We have a few minutes left here before the feast is served out. So we'd be happy if any of you have a question and we can try to answer them. So don't all ask at once. Yeah. To approach Krishna, what does one have to do? Krishna, that is a very wonderful question. Thank you very much. Krishna answers this in the Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava madbhakto majajji mam namaskuru mam me vaishashi yuktvayavam atmanam matparayanaha. He explains how you can approach him. He says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, certainly you will come to me. Always think about Krishna. Always bow down to him within your heart. And when you have a chance, get down on the floor. Bow down to him. In this way, fully absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. And he guarantees that he will take you back to him. And you can be one of his intimate associates eternally in the spiritual world. Forever and ever, with no income tax, no traffic jams, no old age, no disease, no death. He guarantees. Next question. Yeah.
I'm wondering, a few people have asked me lately about not being able to practice perfectly. Should they endeavor to keep chanting as much as they can and so forth, or give up in their tracks?
Yeah. Sometimes they think, well, you know, I'm not doing that well, I'm such a neophyte. I'm committing so many offenses when I chant, it's better I just stop altogether. No, it's actually better to chant offensively than, it's even more offensive to not chant at all. It's better to chant offensively than not chant at all. Because even by offensive chanting or improper chanting, the power of the holy name is so potent. There's so much potency in the name that even if you don't know what you're doing and you're just somehow making a stab at it, and the name will pull you out of that. The name itself has the power to enlighten you. Just somehow keep the name going, even if you don't know what you're doing, really. You know, just keep chanting somehow or other. Just keep the name going, and the fog will go away. In the beginning, sometimes the neophyte devotee will feel like he's going through a very foggy era of his existence. But just, you know, there's the old saying, onward through the fog, you see. Just keep chanting. And finally, the fog will be burned away by the power of the holy name, and everything will become clear, crystal clear, and you'll see Krishna face to face. So even though now we may feel there's difficulty, my mind keeps saying, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? No. Tell the mind to be patient. The process works. One just has to stay in the process. Work the process, because the process works. Don't ever give up the process. And you will get the result. Guaranteed. Or I will give you $10,000 cash. No, I'll give it to you now. Try it for 6 months. And if you don't get the result, I'll give you $10,000. You sincerely follow this process for 6 months with full sincerity and determination. And I'll give, if you don't get the result, I'll give you $10,000 cash. Nobody's ever come for the money. Because this process works. Anyone who sincerely tries this process, they get the result. The recipe is bona fide. You get the cake every time. It's got to follow the recipe strictly. Question back there, someone else? Yeah.
There are some situations like a soldier on the battlefield.
There are some situations.
Yeah. A military man, person on the battlefront, can he still be Krishna conscious?
Yes. Who is that military man that was Krishna conscious on the battlefield? What was his name? Arjun. If Arjun can be Krishna conscious on the battlefield, then any military man, he can be Krishna conscious.
No, during the war,
Yes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Krishna.
Huh? That killing on the battlefront is still in the name of.
If actually war should not be fought unless there's a Krishna conscious reason for them. We are against the kind of wars that are going on now in the Kali Yuga. These wars are not proper. It's crazy, these kind of wars that happen now. They're not Krishna conscious. In the Vedic culture, the Kshatriya are there. They are warrior class. But what is the literal meaning of the word Kshatriya? Do you know the meaning? It means one who protects the citizens from being harmed. He's a bodyguard is what he really is. He's not an aggressor. In the Kali Yuga, they had these aggressive wars. We want to take over your property, you know, we'll invade, you know, like Kuwait, you know, the whole thing. That is the Kali Yuga. But in the previous time, war was, the Kshatriya was there in the God-conscious, Krishna-conscious society. The warrior class were there. If some aggressor came to exploit the citizens, then the Kshatriya, they would defend the innocent civilians from the attack of the aggressive, demoniac persons. So that sort of warfare is justified. If you are attacked by, if the devotees of a Lord are attacked by demons who want to kill them, who want to rape their women, who want to steal their property and burn their temple to the ground, they have a right to defend themselves. Even if they have to kill the attackers, they have a right to do that. If someone comes to kill all the people in this room, rape all the women, and kill all the men, and burn the temple down, do we just sit here and say, yes, yes, I am pacifist? No. We have a right to kill them if they are coming to kill us. We are not aggressors. We are peace-loving people. But if some demons want to come and exploit the peace-loving people, then in the Vedic culture, there was a class of men were there. They were saintly men, Kshatriya. They were trained in the fighting art. So if there are demons, they can protect the innocent citizens. But we don't see such soldiers in today's world. That's why it's hard to understand. Now we simply see this crazy situation. Everyone's just trying to, you know, exploit. There's no God-conscious governments on the planet right now. Purely God-conscious governments. Now they say, secular state, take God out. We don't want God. You see, and then we go to war for personal gain and greed. You see. So we have just a couple of minutes left, and we have just one last question we can squeeze in. Any other questions? Someone's pointing somewhere, there's a hand. But I'm seeing this hand. I'm seeing, but someone else that didn't ask a question yet.
You're describing that love of Godhead is dormant in everybody's heart.
Yes, right.
Also, we understand that we can achieve love of Godhead by having the bhakti love of bees implanted through the hearing process by the pure devotees. So
yes.
By,
that's true. By hearing from the devotees of the Lord, especially the pure devotee, and those who are speaking on behalf of the pure devotee also, The Shakti comes through by the power of the pure devotee to plant the seed of bhakti within the heart. So what was the question? Yes. Yes. That bhakti, yeah, I understand. You're saying, one could say, well, it appears to be contradictory. You're saying the love of God is in the heart, but then you're saying it comes in the form of a seed and takes root. It appears to be contradictory. Of course, these are the subject matter. These are, you could say this is like a simile in one sense. The actual fact is, if we look at both ways of explaining it, we can understand how both of those concepts work together in tandem, in harmony. Yes, right now the love of God is there, but it's virtually dead. The seed of love of God comes in and it revives that love of God, which is there in a virtual state of death right now. So both things are true. That the dormant love of God is there, and the bhakti enters like a seed from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master through our ears. Both are true. So that is, we have run out of our time, and we thank you all very much for coming and participating in this program today at the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We hope you will take seriously what we've explained today and make this your last birth in the material world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.